Not quite a doctor, but joining me on the phone now is pharmacist Bernard Dunn. Good morning, or Bernard Duggan, I beg your pardon, Bernard. Good morning. I've got the boxer Bernard Dunn on me, Brian. There you go.
Well, I'm not a doctor or a boxer. I'm a local community pharmacist.
Local community pharmacist. And Bernard, all the young kids back to school this morning, and as any parent knows, the old schoolyard can be a breeding ground for all kinds of diseases.
Well, there's lots of different common, I suppose, minor ailments that children can get when they're young. And it's estimated that children of a young age get between 3 to 8 colds a year and 2 to 3 bouts of stomach upset, along with things like sore throats, minor cuts, head lice. These are all minor conditions that the parents can come into the local community pharmacist and get good, sound, practical advice on how to treat these conditions, which are very common in young children.
Yeah, because, you know, what... first of all, for most parents nowadays, is, you know, it's an expensive enough trip if you need to take a child to a GP or whatever, and you know, your local pharmacist, it's not often necessary to be taking children with these minor ailments to GPs, which is obviously incurring big costs on parents. If you go to the local pharmacy, you can get an awful lot of help.
Yeah, absolutely. When you go to your local community pharmacy, you can speak to the pharmacist, who is the medicines expert who works within your community. They're very aware of all the various minor ailments and conditions, and they're able to look at the child and see if they can treat them. They can provide them with the treatment there in the pharmacy for that condition, advise the parents on how to use that treatment and what to do if the child doesn't get better. They're also very knowledgeable at recognising the more, I suppose, serious alarm symptoms that need to be referred on to the GP immediately. All the community pharmacies also now have private consultation rooms, so the parent and the child can go in and speak to the pharmacist in private without an appointment to get a sound advice on how to treat these minor ailments. And sometimes as well, with things like the common cold or sore throats, they're often caused by viruses. So even if you do go to the doctor, you won't be getting an antibiotic because they're not effective against them. So essentially all you can do is get medication to treat the symptoms, which your community pharmacist will be able to provide you with.
Yeah, I think that there's been a lot of work done, I think, through pharmacy organisations and probably through the HSE in general over the last couple of years. I'm not 100% sure, to kind of get people aware that, you know, there's not a whole hell of a lot your GP can do if you have the flu or if you have a sore throat and stuff like that.
Things like the common cold, sore throats, they are caused by viruses.
Yeah.
They're very common. Children are very prone to them. As you said, they're in the playgrounds, they're sneezing on top of each other, which is the usual way which is transmitted. They all play close together. Yeah. So they're ideal people for it to be transferred from one child. They're an ideal situation for it to be transferred from one child to another. Mm-hmm. So that's why even we're highlighting that it's important to get your children to wash their hands as frequently as possible. And even having antiseptic wipes in the child's school bag can be helpful in reducing the transmission. As you've said, there's a lot of work been done, particularly our organisation, the Irish Pharmacy Union, has partnered up with the HSE in trying to remind people that antibiotics are only effective in particular circumstances, and we need to reserve them for those circumstances so that they remain effective. So for things like the common cold, sore throat, the flu, unless it gets very complicated, you usually can just manage that yourself at home with things like paracetamol, which is also suitable for use in the children as long as you give it at the correct dose, and rehydration and rest. So your pharmacist will be able to advise you on the correct treatment for that.
Absolutely. That was the thing I wanted to ask you about. Paracetamol, depending on what part of the internet you go to, some people will tell you it's bad, some people will tell you it's good. I mean, I've never had a problem with it, my kids have never had a problem with it, but there are people who will probably say to you, oh, too much paracetamol, I mean, we have to be careful with paracetamol. What are the guidelines with regards to paracetamol, especially with children?
Yeah, paracetamol is a very effective medication, both in young children and in adults. It does two main things. It helps to relieve pain, and it also lowers raised temperature, so it helps reduce fever. It is a very effective medication when it's used correctly and in a safe dose. And it's important that parents are aware of the correct dose for their child, and that the dose varies with age, and that they need to follow those recommendations. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the size of the box of paracetamol, for example, a Calpol is one type of product, they clearly state the doses for a particular child of a particular age. And it's important that those doses are followed and they're not exceeded. But in general, between 1 to 6 years of age, there's a lower strength paracetamol sheet and one liquid, and it's anything between 5 to 10 mils, depending on the age, between 1 and 6, and that'll be clearly indicated on the box and on the patient information leaflet. And then from 6 to 12 years of age, there's a second different type of paracetamol liquid for older children, and again the doses will be indicated on that. So it's important as well that you check the doses before every time you give it to the child, thinking about the age of the child, that you use a correct measuring spoon, a 5ml spoon or a syringe, so that you're giving the accurate dose. And if you're unsure at all in any circumstances, you just check with your local community pharmacist. And when it is used correctly like this, it is a very safe and a very effective medication to treat things like fever and headache, pains that go with the common cold or sore throats.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to just tip on some of the different elements, as you said, we're talking about here. There's one or two of them that I don't think when people see them and they see them in their children, they get a bit scared and they go, oh my God. I mean, head lice is the one that everybody goes, oh my God, but it's quite common, yeah.
Head lice is incredibly common.
Yeah.
I think it's somewhere over 80% of children under the age of 15 will have head lice at one particular point in their lives.
Yeah.
And it's very common in young children because of the way they play together, where they tend to huddle together.
Yeah.
And the head lice transfer from one head to another by direct hair contact.
Yeah.
It's no reflection on the hygiene of the child. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. They actually prefer clean hair. Mm. The best thing to do in terms of head lice is to check the hair once a week using a fine-toothed comb after having wet the hair to see if there's any live lice or any unhatched eggs present. If there is, you'll then need to treat the child's head with medication to kill off the head lice, and those different preparations are available from the pharmacist, and they'll be able to advise you on the most suitable treatment depending on whether the child is in any other conditions. So for example, some of the products aren't suitable for children with asthma, so it's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's very easily treated, but the best course of action for it is to check the child's hair once a week, every week, with a fine-toothed comb, to go through it and do a detection combing to see if there's any head lice present.
Absolutely. And the other one that tends to cause kind of sharp intakes of breath is chicken pox. You see all kinds of information, you know, where people, you know, so-and-so has chicken pox, and you get people saying, oh, put 10 kids in the room and let them all get it, and stuff like that. Does chicken pox work like that, or is it just kids will get it when they get it?
It's a very common childhood infection.
Yeah.
It is contagious when it breaks out, so the child should stay out of school until all the crosses have gone, because we want to try limit it spreading to other children. It usually presents as small red patches which blister and crust over, and once the crosses have gone, it's no longer contagious. The important thing is to try and get the child not to scratch, because if the child scratches the blisters and breaks them open, they can then become infected, and that's where you get a bacterial infection in the blisters, and that means you will need an antibiotic then from the doctor. Mm-hmm. So we want to try and avoid scratching. Calamine lotion has a cooling effect, and it's very effective at reducing the itch from the chicken pox. And if the child also has a fever, again, some paracetamol at the correct dose will help the child.
Absolutely. And finally, Bernard, before I let you go, every year, every winter, there's some sort of strain of flu, you know. I mean, a couple of years ago it was avian flu or bird flu or whatever it was, and we see them now every year come around. Once we get into the winter months, there's always some strain of flu does the rounds. Is that just a natural thing that happens every year, or is it something we should probably be on the lookout for and expect to be happening on a regular basis?
In terms of the flu, the flu season here in this country is usually from October until April. Mm-hmm. And the flu strains, there's a huge variety of different flu strains that are out there, but there's usually three or four more common ones that will lead to people getting flu during the flu season. We predict those ones because the Southern Hemisphere have had their winter before us, they'll have gone through their flu season first. Mm-hmm. So whatever were the strains that were circulating in the Southern Hemisphere, so down in Australia, New Zealand during their winter, are more than likely to be the strains that will be circulating here up in the Northern Hemisphere in this country during our flu season. The best course of action for the flu is to get vaccinated against it. Yeah. And if you're in any of the at-risk categories, so for example, if you're over 65, if you're a diabetic, if you have any kind of respiratory disease like asthma or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, you're at risk of the complications of the flu. So it's advised that you do get your flu vaccination. You can get your flu vaccination from a number of different places, but anybody who's over the age of 18 can go to their local community pharmacy for the last number of years and get their flu vaccination from their pharmacist, who'd be able to provide them with information on the flu, tell them about the vaccination, and then administer the vaccine for them. And it's been a very successful service, with a huge amount of people who've been vaccinated in the last number of years through community pharmacy. So I suppose the best thing to do is to recommend everyone, once the flu season starts in October, to go and get your flu vaccination. If you do get the flu, the typical symptoms are fever, high temperature, shivering and aches, and it can take a lot out of you, particularly children if they get it. Mm-hmm. They can be very run down and just not have any energy. The best thing to do is let it run its course, let the child rest, make sure they're fully hydrated with lots of fluids, and any paracetamol would also help treat any aches and pains and fever that the child is getting.
Okay, Bernard, listen, lots of great information there, and as you say, if anybody has any concerns about that child or whatever, before they go charging off to A&E or off to the GP, where they're probably going to spend a lot of money, go to the local pharmacies first.
Yeah, absolutely. Your local community pharmacist is the most successful healthcare professional living in your community. They're there early in the morning to late in the evening. They have a private consultation room. You don't need an appointment. You can go in and talk to them about any of your health concerns. They'll be able to help you. Maybe they might be able to provide you with some advice, some medication and how to use that correctly, which may be able to help to resolve the problem you're having.
Okay, Bernard, listen, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us this morning, and we'll probably talk to you again somewhere down the road.
No problem at all. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Bernard. Take care. All the best. Bye-bye. There you go, folks. That's Bernard Duggan, who was a pharmacist and honorary treasurer of the Irish Pharmacists Union. And, yeah, lots of good tips and pointers there. As we were saying, you know, kids do, once they go back to school, pick up all kinds of ailments and things. It's just natural course of things, and it's the way it works out. So if you have any concerns or any doubts, check, go to your local pharmacist first, because 9 times out of 10 they'll have the answer for you, and even if they don't, they'll be quite good at pointing you in the right direction if it's something more severe or it needs urgent medical attention. Okay.